It was interesting. My very first day in college, my very first class, I went to Craig's same school as Craig, and it was a very conservative Bible college, suits and ties, and very conservative. And in the 80s, what kind of ties were cool? Skinny ties, right? So I knew I was looking to identify with somebody that had a skinny tie, you know, someone that could identify. And I looked around, and there was only one guy in the entire class that had a skinny tie on. It was your pastor. So he was hip, man, let me tell you. I knew I was going to get along with him, and we've been friends since. Does anybody here besides me hate vegetables? Anybody? How about as a kid? Did you love vegetables growing up? I hated them. And there were certain vegetables that to this day I have a strong dislike for. I like them a little bit better now, but there were certain ones that have stuck with me that I will never, ever like Brussels sprouts. I don't know what it is about those things, or squash. This is the way you say that, just, ugh, squash. Just. And my mother often made my father's favorite. Anybody like rutabaga? Yeah, that is like the most disgusting thing in the world. I don't know where they dug that up at, but it's a type of turnip. But my dad loved that, so she would put it on the plate. But there was one dish that I just disliked more than anything else, green peas. You know the kind you get in the can? I don't know what it was about those things, but they just made me gag. And we had a rule in my house, you could not leave the table until all your food was gone, including the vegetables. So there would be consistently myself, by myself, sitting there eating vegetables for a half hour after dinner. I have an older brother, he's 5 years older than me. And one day my parents both finished, and neither one of us had finished our green peas. He didn't like them either, apparently. And I don't know what it was in me that made me do this, but I just decided to take one and throw it at my brother. And I hit him right in the noggin, and it was an awesome shot. And I don't know, he, of course, what do brothers do? They retaliate, right? And sure enough, he threw a few extra back at me, and I decided to retaliate to him. And next thing I know, peas are flying everywhere. They're all over the walls, they're all over the floor. About then, my mother walked in, and she was not happy, to say the least. She marched us into her bedroom, pulled out the plastic white belt, and laid into us. And then she took us back in there and made us clean up the peas off the wall, off the floor, put them back on our plate, and eat them. I still hate green peas, but I promise you I will never throw them at my brother again. I tell you this story because it's my first memory of behavior modification. The first time I remember my parents trying to teach me what to say, what not to say, what not to do. My parents didn't smoke, drink, or cuss. My father was a Baptist preacher. And I never heard cuss words. But once in a while, I'd be playing with the deacon's kids, and I'd hear a new word, and I would just go home and say it right in front of my parents. And that white belt, of course, would come out again. But as a child, I learned there were certain things you just don't say in life. There are certain things you just don't do. Because if you do, there will be consequences. And you only have to experience a white belt once to, you know, decide, I'm not going to say that word again. I'm not going to do that again. But over time, as I grew up, I learned there were other things in life, especially like when it came to dating. There's certain things you don't say on a date, like, you know, you want something to drink? Well, it's right over there. You just learn what not to say as you get into high school. You learn to keep your mouth shut and say things that are good and not offensive. I'm sure as you learned in life at work, there have probably been times when you want to say certain things, but you know you should not say those things because you would not have a job. So you control your mouth. And I want you to write this down in your notes as we start today. First thing is we all have developed a filter for our words and actions so we can succeed in life. We've all developed a filter. Isn't that true? If I didn't develop a filter, I wouldn't have, you know, been able to make it through life. Because there's every day in life that I have to be careful about what I say. I'd be in trouble every day if I didn't. And so we've developed this filter to help us function and get through life. You don't say certain things, what you're really thinking, do you? You just have to keep your mouth shut. There's certain things you don't do, even though you feel like you want to do it, because you know you'd get in trouble and there'd be consequences. We've all learned to monitor, to filter our behavior and our words. But eventually, something slips through, doesn't it? Eventually, you're in a situation where maybe it's an intense situation, or you're angry about something, and in the heat of the moment, a word slips through, something happens, and you just say something, and you're like, "Why? I can't believe I said that." Anybody else experience that besides myself? Okay, yes. Pastor Craig, get your hands up. Two of them. I mean, I have said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I don't know where it came from. It's like my filter had a hole in it. And what we're going to talk about today, if you want to write this down in your notes, as we get older, as we become mature, it's not enough to just monitor our behavior, our words. We need to control something else in life. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 15, we're going to get to some scripture today. But what really needs to be controlled in our life is something that nobody has taught us to control. We tend to neglect this other thing. We have the filter in place. We watch what we say. We're careful. I mean, how many people have said to you as you grew up, watch your words, watch what you say, you better be careful what you do. But I think very few of us have been taught to keep an eye on this other thing, this more important thing. And the thing that I would say all of life is affected by, and Scripture agrees with. Let's go to some Scripture here and find out what the deeper issue is. Let's discover what this other thing is. Matthew 15, verse 18. It says, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean." Jesus says in this passage that everything that comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. Isn't that interesting? If you want to know who people really are, just listen to them. Listen to their words. Be around them enough, you can hear them kind of relax a little bit. And then you'll find out where their heart is. Jesus said everything comes out of the heart, comes through the mouth. In those moments when we say, "Oh, man, I can't believe I just said that. Where did that come from?" Jesus would say, "Oh, I know where it came from. It came from your heart. It came from your heart." In your notes, write this down. Eventually, your filter is going to break down, and the truth of what is in your heart will come out to all of those around you. There will be a moment, no matter how good you think you are and how strong you think your filter is, there will be a moment when what is in your heart will break through. That creature that is lurking inside will come out. It will rear its ugly head, and it will seem uncharacteristic to the people around you. Let's say, "Well, that's not like Hatch. That's kind of weird that he would say that. I mean, he never says stuff like that." I'll tell you, there's one area of life, one person in your life that you probably have exposed the creature inside to a few times. I would say it's your spouse. In the context of marriage, the filtering system breaks down a little bit. Would anybody else agree with me on that? I think it's because we're with that person pretty much 24/7. And the more we're around them, the more it gets a little tougher to maintain the filter. You know, you get a little tired, you're a little worn out, get a little stressed out, and the filter breaks down a little bit to your spouse. And they begin to see the truth of your heart. How many times have you heard, and have I heard someone say something like this, who recently got married, "He just isn't the person I thought he was. She isn't the person I thought she was. I mean, she wasn't like this before we got married." I've heard that so many times. And I would say, you know, what happened? Did they change? They didn't change. They just their filter broke down a little bit. They relaxed the filtering system. And the truth of what was lurking in the heart came out either in words or in actions. That's because we've all been taught, again, to monitor our words and our actions. But very few of us have been taught to do what we should do. Many have never developed the skill of monitoring and cleaning their hearts. Let's look at this passage. Let's go to the next verse. Matthew 19. Verse 19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Let's just pause right there for a second. Okay, well, are you sure about that, Jesus? Because I thought my thoughts came out of my brain. And Jesus says, no, we're not talking about your physical heart. We're talking about the thing inside you that drives you, the thing that loves, the thing that makes you get up every morning, your passions, that heart. He says, out of that comes evil thoughts. Are you telling me that I have an evil heart, Jesus? I'm a pretty good person. I don't say bad things. No, you have a pretty good filter. Jesus would say, your heart is evil. Look back at that verse. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, and then this next one, murder. Let me ask you a question. Whenever there is a murder that is discovered, who do the investigators or the police go to first? Say it. Family. A spouse. Why? Why is that? Have you ever thought about that? Why is that? It's because in a marriage, the filter breaks down quicker than anywhere else. It's in the marriage that people kind of drop their guard a little bit. The truth of what is lurking in their heart because of circumstances, because of stress, it comes out before it comes out in any other area of life. And we have a murder on our hands. Look at all these things that are lurking in the heart. Adultery. Sexual immorality. That's in the heart. Why do these things happen? I have just recently heard about so many marriages that are having problems, struggles, and it's all because of extramarital affairs. I mean, 99% of them. Where does that come from that you would do that? Right here. I don't care what you say. I don't care what excuses you give. I don't care what you blame it on. It all comes back, Jesus says, to the heart. Sexual immorality is from the heart. Theft. False testimony. Slander. You ever deliberately talk about somebody to put them down, to make them look bad. Slander. All these things. Something slips out of your mouth, and we say to ourselves, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't do that. Jesus would say, no. You need to go a little deeper. You need to go down deep inside to the heart, because that is where the problem is. And all these things lurking around, and in a weak moment, when we're tired, when we're worn out, when the stress level is at its highest, the filter breaks down, and we're going to see what is really inside our hearts, the creature from the deep. It's not a filtering problem. When that word comes out, when that action comes out that's not like you, that you're so careful about, it's not a filtering problem, it's a heart problem. There was a wise man, his name was Solomon. He's in the Bible, wrote a couple books. The Bible says he was the wisest man to ever live. And he had something to say about the heart. Isn't that interesting? Let's go there. Let's skip over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It's in your notes there. It says, above all else, this is what Solomon says, the wisest man ever. Above all else, above money, above your words, above your actions, guard your heart. Guard your heart. What does it mean to guard? In this context, as this was being written, they had walled cities. Every city pretty much had a wall around it. And there was one way in and one way out. At night, they would close the city gates. But during the day, When the gates were open, they would have guards at the city gates. And the guards' responsibility were to do what? Were to monitor, were to protect the city from anything wrong coming in. The enemy, keeping the enemy out. You wouldn't want anything inside the city that would damage the city. And so you read that in this context. Above all else, Solomon says, the wisest man to ever live, guard your heart. Watch what comes in. Do not let anything to come into your heart that would damage it, that would take root in there. Why? And then he tells us why. For it is the wellspring of life. Your life, it all starts in the heart. Everything about you, it is the wellspring of life. And so Solomon says, you better guard it. You better protect it. All of life. In your notes, write this down. This is a question for you today, kind of a challenge a little bit. Has anyone ever trained you to guard your heart? Or simply to guard your behavior or your tongue? It's a good question, isn't it? God wants you to work on your heart. He cares most about your heart. And the scriptures, if you were to read the New Testament and the Old Testament, the scriptures are filled with things that we need to do, habits we need to develop to guard our heart, to protect our heart, to clean out our heart from the things that are lurking in there. I don't think this is really anything new for many of you. As we sit here right now and we talk about this, I'm sure there's people in your life that you're thinking about that you know, or people from your past that you would say, this person has definitely got a heart problem. I've heard them say things that is, so, it just to me, it's an indicator there's something in their heart. I've seen them do things. And so we're quick to point fingers at people, aren't we? We'd say clearly they have a heart issue. But would you be willing today, instead of pointing fingers at other people, would you be willing to admit that you also have a heart issue? These words from Jesus are not only true about everybody else, but they're true about you. Here's my challenge. Write this in your notes. Will you take responsibility for your own heart and work to keep it clean? Will you take the responsibility? Whose responsibility is it to guard your heart? Is it your parents' responsibility? No. Is it your spouse's responsibility? No. Is it the government's responsibility? Lord, I hope not. It is nobody's responsibility but yours. You are the only one. Will you take that responsibility? Instead of looking at others, will you focus on your own heart? Will you embrace the responsibility to clean it out according to God's word and using what the word says and guard it? Will you work side by side with God? It's tough. It's a big deal. Let me give an example of how God's word works and what Jesus would say to do. Have you ever met somebody that is greedy? Raise your hand if you've met somebody like that, okay? Would they ever admit to it? Probably not. I mean, I don't think I've ever met a person in my life that would admit to being greedy. Nobody admits to that. They just say stuff like, well, I'm frugal. I'm careful. You know? But the truth is, they're greedy. And the Bible is clear. The way you overcome a greedy heart is to do what? Is to give generously. That's how you overcome it. So let's say you're a greedy person. And you feel, you know, you hear a message like this on greed, and you say to God, God, I admit it, I'm greedy, and I have a greedy heart, and I want it to change, Lord. So would you please give me what I need? Help me overcome the greedy heart. And God would say, okay, I'm glad you finally admitted that. That's a first step. So this is what I want you to do. According to my word, I want you to give generously. I want you to start giving. But God, I can't because I'm greedy. Well, that's how you overcome it. You give. So I want you to give. I want you to write a check. Because giving breaks the power of a greedy heart. But I can't, God, because I'm greedy. See, do you think God ever gets frustrated with us? I think he does. It'd be like going to a doctor and the doctor saying, you're on the verge of a heart attack. And this is what I want you to do. This is the only thing you need to do besides eating right. I want you to exercise every day. But doc, I don't like exercising. Can't you just like do surgery? No. I mean, can't you just fix my heart? I'm telling you how to fix your heart. Exercise. But that means I got to sweat. And I don't like to sweat. I don't like to do that. It's work. That is the same way. What would the doctor say? Start exercising. I think God gets frustrated with us because he gives us what to do in his word, but we don't want to do it. We have the answers because it takes work. He tells us what to do to change. But we'd rather do what? Especially when it comes to our heart. I'll just work on my filter. I'll just be a little more careful about what I say, you know, my actions. God says that's not going to cut it anymore. Because someday something's going to happen and the words are going to come out at the worst possible moment and you're going to have some hefty consequences for that. So you need to guard your heart. Isn't it time we learn to do that? Isn't it time we clean out all the junk and the crud that's inside our hearts? Reading and studying God's word, key to doing that. Coming to church and hearing about his word is key to doing that. And through that, God gives us the keys to cleaning out our hearts. But we'd rather focus on our filter. God, no, I want you to work on your heart. Filters aren't good enough. Years ago, I was a high schooler, and I things were going pretty good for me. I was 16. I was driving. I loved life. And there was a speaker that would come, a pastor, youth pastor, and he'd come and speak at my school. I went to a Christian school. And his name was Mark Bassey. And there was just something about Mark Bassey that I liked. And so when I was driving by his church, it wasn't even my church, but every now and then I'd drive by there and I found my car pulling into the parking lot to go hang out with Mark Bassey. And I'd go and I'd sit down in Mark's office, knock on his door, and I'm sure he was busy and I'm sure I was annoying, but he'd say, come on in, Hatch. And I'd sit down and we'd talk for a little bit. And I just, honestly, to this day, I would say I'm in ministry a large part because of Mark and his influence on my life and his patience with me. But we would sit there and he had a way of digging down into my life and getting me to talk about things to him that I just wouldn't talk to anybody else about. And on frequent occasions, Mark would simply look at me in the eye, across, I can see it today, sitting him on the other side of the desk, him looking across at me and saying, Hatch, how is your heart? How is your heart? And I would open up. I'd tell him, it's not doing too good. I'm not feeling good about my heart right now. I'm having trouble. Isn't that a really good question? How often has somebody just looked at you, somebody that knows you, somebody that cares about you, in a moment and said, how's your heart? How is your heart doing? I mean, it's something so important, according to God's word. Something that is the wellspring of life that affects everything we do. Shouldn't we be a little bit more concerned about that? I'm going to ask you that question today. Actually, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I'd like you just to bow your heads for a moment. And just have a little privacy here. No one looking around. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or do anything like that. I just have a few questions for you. And in the quietness of this moment, I want you to be honest with yourself. Is everything okay in your heart? Is everything okay in your heart? Are you mad at anybody? Are you waiting for somebody to come to you when you should be going to them? Do things come out of your mouth on a regular basis where you say, I wonder where that came from? Have you secretly celebrated somebody's failure in the last few days? Do you have any secrets that are just eating at you? Is there a question you hope nobody ever asks of you? Have you lied recently to somebody that you love? How is your heart? Pray this prayer with me right now in your hearts. Father, help me to guard my heart because it is the wellspring of life. Help me to protect it, to clean out the crud and the junk that's inside. Help me not just to have a filter, but to go a little deeper, to find the cause, to keep those things that would just want to root inside and get lodged in there. Jealousy, anger, bitterness, greed, guilt. Help me, Lord, to protect my heart above everything else. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.